Good morning. This is Pastor Zachary Corey of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Wahoo, Nebraska. On Monday, March 23rd, and I wanted to lead you through a daily devotion today with a couple of readings and some thoughts. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our psalm for the week is Psalm 132, verses 8 through 18, and our antiphon, our theme and so repeated verse, is verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. And now, a reading from Mark chapter 12. This is today's assigned reading. At that time, Jesus began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it, and dug a pit for the winepress, and built a tower, and released it to tenants, and went into another country. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent to them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and him they killed, and so with many others. Some they beat, and some they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. And they were seeking to arrest him, but feared the people, for they perceived that he had told the parable against them. So they left him and went away. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The vineyard from this text that Jesus is talking about, it's really the central location in this parable. The vineyard is a constant theme throughout Scripture. The vineyard is the place of vines, right? It's the place of trees. It's the place of, certainly we think of a vineyard as the place where grapes are produced, which will then be used for wine. And wine, of course, makes glad the hearts of men, as the psalmist says. The vineyard can be seen as what Adam is put into. He's put into the garden, and he is to work it and to keep it. And so God places him amongst the trees, as it were, or bushes or vines. But again, this is a continued theme throughout Scripture. After all, it is from a tree that man is would be given life. For in the garden, in the midst of the garden, is the tree of life, but also in the midst of the garden is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And, of course, the man and the woman are forbidden to eat from that tree. And, of course, it is eating from that tree, that forbidden tree, that ends up bringing about sin and death into the world as they rebel against God. But man himself is also likened to a tree. It's the first psalm that says that the man who is blessed, who meditates day and night on the word of God and does not sit or stand or walk or go in the way of sinners or mockers or the wicked, he instead is like a tree that is planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf doesn't wither. Unlike the wicked, who are like chaff that the wind drives away, right? So man himself is again likened to a tree or to a vine. I recall as well that Noah, after the whole flood encounter, which of course he built the ark from trees, he then, once he's settled and once everything is good and he's back on the land after the water subsided, he is to be fruitful and to multiply and to repopulate the earth, as is the command also to his sons and his sons' wives. Well, we're told that Noah goes and plants a vineyard. He's going to kind of set up the garden all over again. His paradise is restored, it seems, is how Noah sees it. And so he plants a vineyard and he enjoys the fruit of it. He enjoys the wine, but it seems that he goes perhaps too far and perhaps even becomes an alcoholic, because that sin is still prevalent, even in Noah, the new Adam, as it were, the one who seems to be the Messiah and the Savior of the world. And then, of course, we're told that Jesus is the true vine. That's what he claims of himself, that his all who trust in him, who follow him, not just physically, but with their hearts, who deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow him. We are the branches then of the true vine of Jesus. And so this warning of this parable is taking place in a vineyard, but it is the vineyard that is owned by the master. It is the vineyard of the Father. And here, the Son isn't seen to be the vineyard, but he is seen to be the one that finally these wicked tenants will trust and certainly will repent. But as Jesus says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And yet even these religious leaders who are Jesus' audience, they do not repent. They seek to arrest Jesus, but the only reason they don't is because they fear the people. Because the people perceived that he had told, excuse me, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, perceived that he had told the parable against him. That is why they seek to kill him. And of course, it is they who ultimately will get him and will take his life on the cross. But that is God's plan. It is to send the righteous one, the Messiah, the one who truly is the Savior of the world, the new Adam, who will come to restore all good things and to reconcile sinful man to the Father. He will come to be hung upon a tree. The true vine will be crucified upon a cross that is made of wood. And so we too are called to repent. Because in our sinful nature, we are the Pharisees. We are like them. Our hearts are hardened. We desire to do what is right in our own eyes and to be our own gods, as was the temptation that Adam and Eve gave into. And so the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Let us repent of our rejecting the Son, of killing him in our hearts because of our sinful rebellion, and instead look to him for salvation. Lord, have mercy upon us indeed. Amen. Our memory work for the week comes from the portion of the sacrament of the altar. We recall a couple of the questions and introduce a new one. What is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. Where is this written? The holy evangelists Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul write, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Now, who receives this sacrament worthily? Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training, but that person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, "given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." But anyone who does not believe these words or doubts them is worthy and unprepared, for the words "for you" require all hearts to believe. Our hymn of the week is hymn number 743, "Jesus, Priceless Treasure," and part of our memory work is only the first two stanzas. "Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure, truest friend to me, Ah, how long in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for thee? Thou art mine, O Lamb divine. I will suffer not to hide thee, not I ask beside thee. In thine arms I rest me. Foes who would molest me cannot reach me here. Though the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, Jesus calms my fear. Lightnings flash and thunders crash, yet though sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. And our verse for the week, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, look down from heaven. Behold, visit, and relieve your servants who stand in need of our prayers. Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend President Matthew Harrison, the Reverend President Richard Snow, our Concordia seminaries, colleges, and schools, our sister churches, the United States of America, President Donald Trump, Governor Pete Ricketts, and of our own, we lift up Sarah, Gloria, Lee and Sandra, John and Addie, Judy, Bernice, Marge, Velva, Elaine, Gail, Lavona, Catherine especially, who is recovering with good news from Gary this morning that Catherine is recovering and in a recovery room, taken out of ICU, no longer having a fever down at Bryan West. So we especially lift her up in our prayers. And also Lauren, Valerie, Jacob and his family, and myself. Look upon them with the eyes of your mercy. Grant them comfort and sure confidence in you. Defend them from all danger and keep them in perpetual peace and safety. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. God's blessings on your day.